In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1943, there was a terrible accident. There was a crane that was moving a heavy engine. It weighed about a ton. And it was a site, and they were moving it, and something happened to the crane. And the engine fell and crushed the man. And the man, they rushed him to the hospital. And the doctors, when they looked at him, they realized that his injuries were basically mortal. He had his leg broken in several places. His pelvis was crushed. His ribs were broken. And his spine was also injured. And then in addition to that, many of the soft tissues were also damaged. And so they, of course, realized this when they began the operation. And so they just closed him back up and left him to die. Even today, 70 years later, such injuries would be very difficult to repair with surgery. And so they closed him up and left him to die. And he was on the operating table. They just left him in the operating room. And he was there for 9 hours. And then he woke up. And they took him to a room, and his family was there. And he said to his mother, "I will live for our Lord Jesus and Saint Rock both appeared to me and told me I would live." Now, Saint Rock, or Saint Rocco, is not very well known these days. Now, we actually have a statue of Saint Rock. He's back there next to the baptistry. Now, Saint Rocco was someone who embraced what our Lord says in the Gospel. He had compassion on the sick. And he gave of himself for them. Saint Rocco was born in 1295 in Montpellier, France. He was a nobleman. His father was mayor of the city. Now, remember, in those days, he wasn't an elected mayor because he was the nobleman. He was the mayor. So they were wealthy. By the time Saint Rocco was 20 years old, his parents died. And so, of course, he then was to be mayor. But he wanted to live the gospel. And he passed the mayorship to his uncle, gave away all his possessions, took upon himself the garb or the habit of a mendicant pilgrim, and went on pilgrimage to Rome. Now this is why, if you look at our statue, he has the two little shells on his cloak there. The shell was the represented the fact that a person was on pilgrimage. Now if you recall, during the Middle Ages, there were the three great pilgrim sites in Europe. There was Jerusalem, well technically not in Europe. In the east there was Jerusalem. In the center, of course, there was Rome. And then in the west, there was Santiago Compostela, the tomb of St. James the Greater, which was on the very, very western edge of Europe. It was called Finisterre, the end of the earth. And it was actually further west than it is, actually further west than Ireland. And so people would go on pilgrimage to these three sites. Now, of course, today we think of pilgrimage as sort of a Catholic vacation. We just kind of go and, you know, jet there and bus. But pilgrimage, of course, in the Middle Ages meant walking. And actually, even today, you can still do the pilgrim route to Santiago Compostela. It's still there. It has never ceased, even from the Middle Ages. There are the refugios along the path. In Spain, it is well maintained. And even now, it's being reestablished in France and all the way across Europe. And so, St. Rock, then, went as a mendicant pilgrim to Rome. Now, that means he was a mendicant, which meant he begged for his food and his lodging. He had no money. Even though he was a nobleman, he had given it all away. And so, you know, just like today, you can travel in different classes. If a wealthy man were to go, he might, of course, have some people with him and things like that. But St. Roch went as a beggar. And he went into northern Italy. And at the time, it was not the time of the Black Death yet. That was about 50 years later. But there were still plagues and illnesses which he came across in Italy. He would go into a town, into a village, and there would be an illness there. And it turned out that St. Roch had the gift of healing. He would pray. He would, of course, take, just like the Good Samaritan, he would give of himself to take care of those ill. And he would pray for them, and he had the gift of healing. He could bless them with the sign of the cross, and they would heal. And he went around to the towns in northern Italy as this nameless mendicant. He didn't give out his name, so nobody knew who he was, healing people. He eventually made it to Rome, again, went to the hospitals there, and began to travel, continue through Italy. And after 8 years, he lived this life in Italy, mostly northern Italy. He eventually got the plague also. And so he was in a village, and they asked him to leave, and he left into the woods in order to die, basically. He went off into the woods. And this is why in on the statues of St. Roch, he's oftentimes shown lifting up his cloak to show his leg, in which there's a wound there. That's the plague that he got. And while he was there in the woods, he lived in a little hut, just basically waiting to die. A dog came to him, brought him bread, and would lick his wounds, and was nursing him back to health. Now, the owner of the dog, who was the local nobleman, you know, he had the land and the woods, they would see the dog go off into the woods with this bread. Now, how the dog got bread, I don't know, but they would see him. And so the nobleman followed his dog, and he found St. Roch. Brought St. Roch back to his manor house, nursed him back to health, and so St. Roch recovered. At this point, he decided to go back to France, go back home, because he had heard that there was some wars going on from his area in France, and he wanted to go to minister to the people there to help them. And so as he went back into France to his people, his native people, he was arrested for being a spy because his own people recognized this man was not a peasant, for he spoke and carried himself as a nobleman, as a wealthy man. And so they put him in jail, believing him to be a spy, that he was only disguised as a pilgrim in order to spy for the enemy. Now, St. Roch did not give his name. He refused to give his name. And so he was in jail with, actually the dog came with him, with the dog. And while he was there, he again nursed and took care of the other prisoners. And it was a war, so there were injuries and illnesses. And he nursed the people there for 5 years. And then he died at about 32 years of age. At that point, his identity was known. There were a number of miracles that occurred at his death, again, miracles of healing. And his identity then became known, whether through documents or some different stories as to how his identity was known. But ultimately, people figured out who this man was. And they connected him with this mysterious pilgrim in Italy. If you imagine, if someone's going around town to town healing people, word gets out and around. And so they connected it together, and he was honored as a saint. Eventually, after 80 years, towards the end of the 1300s, his body was taken to Venice, where there's a large church there in his honor, and he's buried in the church. And in Italy, there is still a great devotion to St. Roch, or St. Rocco. Many churches are named after him. Many hospitals are named after him. And here in the United States, then many of the Italian immigrants who came over continued devotion to St. Roch. Especially in the East Coast, you'll find churches named for St. Roch. So our unfortunate man was of Italian descent. He was actually born in Italy, and his church in which he grew up was St. Roch. And so while he was unconscious, as I said, he saw Jesus, our Lord, and St. Roch there, and they were putting his bones back together, he said. And they told him, "You will live." And he woke up and he told his family, he told his mother, "I saw our Lord. He's with St. Roch. They're putting my bones back together. And they told me that I would live." And the man did live. He did survive. The doctors, of course, declared it a miracle. It became a little famous in his hometown, so that even in the court documents, so it was actually a court case afterwards over this, they even make mention the fact that this man miraculously recovered. Nobody expected him to recover. And not only did he recover, but he went back to work then after a few months as though nothing was wrong. And so this man, in thanksgiving for this great miracle, bought a statue of St. Roch in order to give to his parish church so that it would be there in order to honor the saint who was there with our Lord, who healed him. And St. Roch, of course, as we now know, is a saint of healing. He had the gift of healing. And so if you go to this man's parish church, there is the statue of St. Roch there. It's not labeled or identified as such, and you can walk past it without really realizing it. But it's there, and you can visit it. The man lived in San Diego, and his parish church and the statue is actually here in town. And his parish church was our own church. And the statue he bought in thanksgiving for the miracle in which he was healed is our own statue in the back of the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.